Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Tuesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush, all back in the studio. Hope you had a great Labor Day. Sip, I know you worked all day yesterday and really honoring Labor Day by working the whole day.
Yeah, it was a work day. I was telling somebody, Greg, that not only did I work during the Labor Day weekend, I worked a lot.
As usual, per the usual,
yeah, first football weekend. It's almost like the Labor Day weekend is you do more work than usual. So today I'll
take it. Right in the middle of football season.
Hello, Bill. Bill is back. Where the hell have you been?
I went back and did some research on the fact that we didn't have a show on Memorial Day, and then we asked to work on the 4th, you and me did, and that got shut down. And then Jake changed the whole schedule and had a show on Labor Day.
Jake didn't change the schedule.
After I had already had, when someone said, do you have anything on Labor Day, can you help be a part of an event? I'm like, yeah, I can do that because we don't have a show that day.
To be clear, the staff was informed Wednesday evening. It was a late decision. I had no part in that. We wish you were here yesterday.
So I feel bad that I wasn't part of that, but I had a previous event that to do that. So just anyway, Jake, Christmas. Are we doing a show on Christmas Day?
I don't believe we have plans for Christmas
clear right now.
Day.
If I know something about Christmas Day.
I believe Thanksgiving, we're also off this year.
Let me know. I'll be here if possible.
Christmas Day, Thanksgiving.
Me and Sip made a strong push for the 4th this year also.
You did.
We did
make a strong push for that.
We did.
And then we also didn't work the 5th. We had the 4th and the 5th off this year. So didn't not just one, but 2 days off. But
it's good to be back in studio.
We're glad to have you back, Bill.
Been a lot going on.
Yeah, I want to make something clear about last night's game against Florida State. I was receiving a lot of texts.
Okay.
Sip, man, nobody there. The stadium's empty. No, it's not. It wasn't empty. There's a major refurbishing project going on. Some of the stadium was closed down. It was a great crowd, loud crowd, tomahawk chop crowd. It was fine.
It wasn't a great crowd.
I'm not sure.
And I agree that they were under construction. I was excited.
What do you mean it wasn't a great crowd?
It wasn't.
Wow.
The best part, there's this confusion later in the game. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we even doing this? We can't get a first down. We can't stop anybody.
Yeah. Bill,
Give up 270 yards rushing. 270.
They kept showing the fans doing the chop. They're going like so depressed. Like,
yeah, it was. It was like they're half asleep. Just like, when is this going to end? We have to work tomorrow. Why do we play this game on Saturday?
Or yesterday, Sunday.
Play it Sunday. This is so stupid.
God, there's a great crowd though, wasn't it?
Wow. Yeah, they had a great time.
They crank up that. I didn't even.
You know what? I did not partake in any shots. I didn't fire anything across the bow. Text messages, anything.
Thank you. There were some people doing that. Mm-hmm.
I would make an early statement on the quarterback for Boston College, which I knew was pretty good.
Castellanos.
Yes. I would say that if he is at Ohio State, he's hands down a finalist for the Heisman.
No kidding.
He's in New York City.
He's fun to watch. He's a good runner.
Oh,
he's a great running quarterback.
And he can throw it too. He reminds me of a Kyler Murray.
He's like
a Kyler Murray is what he looks like.
What's his name?
Thomas Castellanos.
Oh, man, is he good.
He's good. He's so fun to watch.
Oh, man. And there's no, just imagine the players that he has around him at Boston College compared to what if he was at Oklahoma? What if he was at Ohio State?
I got to tell you, Bill, I wasn't as impressed. I think he looked good, but I think Florida State made him look pretty good.
I don't know. He did it all last year, too. He was really good last year. Okay. Everybody's pretty high on him.
So, the running back, Robichaud, also had a nice game. Like they just were punishing the defensive line of Florida State. It was the running back, and then Castellanos just take off for 15, 20 yards. There he goes.
0-2.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Playoffs over. Yeah. That's out.
What I like about DJU, what's his name?
Uyunglele.
Really fiery. He really gets after it.
Yeah.
Really great leader. He really gets his guys going. Looks really engaged.
I said some.
God, he's a fiery guy.
It was a body language. It was a body language game that wasn't good.
Yeah, I love DJ's body language though.
Yeah,
he looks like he's getting after it.
He's really intent on winning.
Make a quarterback change now. I mean,
what's their backup? Do we know their backup situation?
I don't even care who the backup is. Just go to him. It can't get worse. I mean, the guy they got is He's dead fish.
There was a couple throws. You go, okay, that's good. The one he missed in the end zone. He had a guy wide open by 15 yards and just sailed it out of the back of the end zone.
Airmailed it.
But he was confident though.
So DJ, now he had some bad drops that hurt him too.
There were some drops.
At one point the tight end dropped two in a row. He had five targets, no catches at one point. Yeah, he had two horrible drops.
Number 84.
Yes, two bad drops. No, but DJ's just didn't look right out there. It doesn't look comfortable at all.
No.
His stats last night. 21 for 42. You said before, he's not an accurate passer.
He's been a 50% passer his whole career.
He was 50% last night. One touchdown and one horrendous pick that went back to the 7-yard line. They scored two plays later.
That was a bad play. It was a 4th and 5. Yeah, right. And that was not a good call by the head coach.
To go for it at the 47?
47. It was first drive.
Right.
I think it was like the first drive of the second half.
That's right.
It's a one possession game, right?
Their own 47.
It was 14-6 at halftime.
It was a one possession game.
Yeah.
And also they said, we got to go for it. We got to make a stand right now. And it wasn't like either, like, I've got a special play. No. So he threw it under pressure. He's like, I've got to throw it because it's 4th and 5. And then they run it back 50 yards and score. Yeah. And that was basically the game.
Stop there. Okay, so go back to that. It was 4th and 7 at Florida State's 47, down 14-6.
Right.
It was really stunning that they went for it.
Start of the second half.
Yeah, start of the second half.
Down 8 points.
Yeah, it was really, I didn't understand it at all. It seemed like a panic move.
When you're watching the game, you were just, and then later on, they went for it on a 4th and 17.
Right.
Which they don't get, which again would have been a chance just to just pin them. And play defense. And then at the end of the game, it's like 4th and 20. But the game now, they have to get the first down or the game is over. They punt it.
Punt it.
It was.
Norvell didn't seem like he was. I don't know if he's in trouble, but they're 0-2. And it's stunning. And it is. Now, it's sort of interesting. I hate to say that.
If you go back and watch the 4th and 17 play, he threw it into quadruple coverage.
Well,
quadruple coverage on that play.
Watching film of the great Jameis Winston.
It's a Florida State thing, man.
You could just read the body language of the head coach. It wasn't even so much if we can pull this game off. You could just tell his body was this season. This season is not and like I said, and on the other side,
I totally agree with you on that.
You could just tell in his mind's going through. What are we going to do? Look at our schedule. I mean, we have some teams coming up.
They go to Notre Dame.
I don't know how. I don't right now, I don't know how they get to a bowl game. That's what it could be. They've lost three in a row. They lost right. back to the bowl game.
Yep, to Georgia.
But just think about it. I am thinking.
You
go to the ACC championship game. You win it without your quarterback, and it's like it's happy. It's 13-0.
I know.
13-0, and then what's happened since then is
What happened since then is they got beat 63-3 in the bowl game by Georgia, and you just wonder what that did to the program. Yeah. I mean, 63-3 can wreck a program. I mean, not completely wreck it, but it can have long-lasting effects. 62-36 had some effects.
Sometimes there's effects, even though they say different players, it's affected Florida.
Seems like it.
They went to the SEC championship game, got beat, played really well, got beat by 5 by Alabama, I believe, and then everyone opted out of the bowl game. And they got crushed, and they've never been remotely the same since that. Florida hasn't been.
Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Right.
You talk about Mike Norvell on the sideline. He gives me anxiety watching the game. The way he's just up and down, always got everything's life or death. Like he just looks very uncomfortable, unpleasant on the sideline.
Now hold on.
He doesn't keep his. He's not keeping his cool very well over there.
Hold on. I mean, he kept his cool last year. Last
They're
night,
0-2 now.
Like, you know, last night he was I'm sure he was uncomfortable. It's horrifying. It's got to be horrifying. Bill's in a horrifying profession. I watched Kelly, Brian Kelly,
the
night before. Yeah, and it just looks like the anguish is so evident. I almost feel for those guys. I don't care how much they're making either. It's still really hard. Norvell's in a pickle, as Bill would say. He's in a serious pickle.
I can imagine what that locker room's like.
Oh.
Last year they're rolling. They felt they should have been in the playoffs, which I agree with them. They should have been in the playoffs. They won the ACC, but and undefeated. Not just won it. They were undefeated. And then now you have this. And you look at them. You don't look at them and just say, you know what? They're just a little. They're just a little off, and they'll be fine. No,
something's wrong.
Because on defense, Georgia Tech ran the ball all over them, and so did Boston College.
270 yards rushing last night. Yeah. 270 on the ground.
I don't get it. And they have guys up front, two or three that were supposed to be NFL level players, like high draftees. I don't know what's going on that side of the ball. Offense, they don't look that. I mean, obviously, offense, they don't look very good either.
I believe they rushed for, I think, 30 yards.
It was low. Like
25 or 30 yards.
Keep in mind that Boston College was at the 5-yard line and kneeled to end the game. They could have made it 35-13. They could have made it even worse than it was. They kneeled for the last 2 minutes of the game.
And this all occurs in the context of the big picture discussion of Florida State trying to get out of the ACC because they feel like they're too good for it.
Hmm. 0-2.
Bad look.
0-2 in conference play, by the way.
Yeah, for how many months and months, they've been doing this thing where they're publicly aching to get out of the ACC and get to a better situation financially. See, Norvell has to have that on his mind, too. He can't have it in the front of his mind. It has to be in the deep recesses. But, you know, the only reason I say that, Bill, is because the people who determine his employment are administrators who have to worry about that stuff.
And the two losses are not to Miami and Clemson.
No.
I mean,
it's Georgia Tech and Boston College. Good God. Yeah, Georgia Tech and Boston College. Yeah, at best. Now, they're probably middle. Georgia Tech's definitely middle of the pack. I don't even know if I'd call Boston College middle of the pack.
If you look at their schedule, I was telling Bill, but they have one ranked team the rest of the way at this point, Missouri. 2 weeks from now, they're at Missouri. And otherwise, again, as it stands right now, they have no more ranked teams on their schedule. They could be a sleeper team, Boston College.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't as impressed with them as you guys were. It just looks like Florida.
Well, defensively, they were very well coached. Yep. Extremely. They're not a great team up front defensively. They're not pass rushers.
They're fine,
but
they had one pass rusher.
They had one, but there are sometimes there was enough time when they had enough time. They got after him a little bit too, but it has to be horrifying right now. At Florida State, just because of that. They're like, well, you guys think everything's so awful and you have to get out of this conference. But Boston College didn't worry about it.
I know.
Georgia Tech didn't. What they worried about was just trying to get their team ready to play.
The fan base is going to be embarrassed.
Well, speaking of defense, Florida State rushing stats against Boston College, 16 carries, 21 yards. They had 8 carries by their running back total in this game.
I didn't hear from Marty last night or Ben.
You said crickets.
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 Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
How about when Norvell drives by this morning on the way to work? What's Marty going to give him the palms
don't
up?
Don't you just look down?
You just look down. It's like this, like, I know. I know. Just give him one of those, I think. I know. We're here.
I'm over here for a beer if you need one.
I don't even, I just think you look down. You just don't even.
Don't, yeah. Just look away.
Yeah, rough. I don't know. I don't even like to joke about it because that's a rough situation.
Final score, 28-13, Florida State loses to Boston College as a 16.5-point favorite, by the way.
Look at Ben over
Never
there.
Never looked good in that game.
Look at Ben over there. What's he doing?
He's cutting up the Rule audio because someone didn't do it yesterday.
Matt Rule audio from yesterday. Look at young
Ben. From the presser. He's doing work hard.
Look at young Ben.
Yeah. Ben gets stuff done.
Looks like he's flying it. Fighter jet over there.
Flying the plane.
It does. It looks like he's breaking down a code. He's trying to get. He's trying to figure out how to get to the submarines.
He can do it.
Anything anyway. Else for idle chit chat before we move on? That's pretty good. Football.
Oh, it was
football.
We're just so blessed. Football.
There's so much. There's so many things to talk about.
It's incredible. And the season's already beautiful. I don't even the Florida State thing. Now, this is where I can get sideways with a coach sitting next to me. I feel bad, but it's part of the sort of the interest and the intrigue of the season. Because here's why. Because you didn't expect this. And that's why I like sports. Because things happen that don't go according to script. It's real. It's real what we're talking about. You never would have thought Florida State was going to be 0-2 in any world. Maybe 1-1, but not 0-2.
So whether you talk about NIL, recruiting, however you want to talk about it, it was very well known that Florida State wanted Cam Ward very badly.
The quarterback.
Who went to Miami.
He's a very good player.
And we've just take what we've seen so far. There's quite a difference between the two players. Big difference between the two players.
I mean,
and that's just imagine Florida State right now. If they would have had Cam Ward, they'd be 2-0.
Yeah, think about it.
They probably would be 2-0, most likely.
Cam Ward, by the way, was 26-35, 385, three touchdowns and a pick in a rout of Florida.
Now you said something really interesting, and you can Huskerize that conversation a little bit. Just the importance of the quarterback position. You really think they'd be 2-0 with Ward, Florida State? Well, mostly Ugalele?
I mean, they got beat the Ugalele. They got beat the last play of the game, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech kicked a field goal to beat them in a tie score. So yes, most likely is he a difference of a field goal somewhere?
Yeah,
I would think so.
Okay, probably.
I sure think so. And then this game, I still would think probably is the difference. I don't want to take any away from Boston College and Georgia Tech though. Those coaches did an outstanding job. I mean, outstanding.
I don't disagree with you. I think they got a bad situation at quarterback, Florida State. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm being facetious when I was talking earlier.
Right.
But he doesn't look right. He just doesn't look right. He doesn't lead. I don't know what.
Yeah, they might have wanted Ward, but it felt like DJ was at least a good consolation prize in the portal. Wasn't he like, hey, that's a massive step down. Mm-hmm. But I guess it is a massive step down through two games.
Well, I think they have to consider a change, right?
Right now, I mean, you sit and look at it, it's like, okay, where are we going to go with this? We have two losses in the ACC, and we haven't even probably played the best rosters yet, even though they're very well-coached teams that beat them. So the chance of them being is like, okay, we have a great chance here yet. If you lose two, but you're 0-2, but your league, you haven't lost a game, there's a lot of things still left to go.
Right.
There's not a lot left for them.
No, there's
with
not.
10 games left, there's not a lot of meat on the bone.
No.
Because it's like, we've lost two conference games. What will it take? We have to win 10 in a row. We have to win 10 in a row just to have a chance to be in the conference.
You never know.
They play Notre Dame still. They've got a couple of
times. They got Clemson yet.
They got Memphis next. I imagine that's not going to be easy.
I told my wife, I said, last night, I go, I got to look at their schedule. So I looked real quick and I go, oh, man.
Yeah.
I go, they got Memphis next.
Yeah.
I go a very
tough group of five school, yeah.
So I don't know how it would be very hard pressed to have the same quarterback come out.
I know.
There's other issues on the team than just a quarterback. That's always a part that just culminates. Like last year, what did they win? 9 or 10 at Oregon State?
10. They won 10 games last year.
But
they
went 10-3. But he still threw for the same because they ran the football very.
Great running back Martinez, who's now also at Miami. Drake Martinez.
Maybe I am being too unfair. Maybe the criticism's a little too harsh on DJU.
Well, I don't know about that. Again, had some really bad drops last night against it, but he also made some horrendous throws and decisions.
But it's interesting what Bill said.
Steve hit on it perfectly. When you watch the game, you just don't feel like this is our guy. When you watch his body language,
terrible.
His facial expression, everything was just like it
blank.
Was like it was like wow.
Yeah.
It was wow. And when you compared the two quarterbacks, just you know, that was the
one was a fighter.
Ed Ogeron's big statement was always big eyes and big chest. Walk in yep. the room, big eyes, big chest.
Oh, no.
And you didn't feel that.
DJ looked like he just got up. Yeah. I mean, he did. Yeah. I'm not, I know that sounds harsh, but it looks like he just got out of bed. I mean, that's what it looked like. Just sleepwalk through that game. I mean, I'd be really concerned about that if I were Norvell. Just
they
just
don't have the same receivers. Yeah. They don't have the same old, all that stuff adds up, adds to the equation.
He never fired up at all. Never fired up. That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our new sponsor, RenewYourAuto.com. David, who you've met before,
oh,
Bill,
my.
At Momo.
This is exciting.
Yes.
This is exciting.
You can call or text David at 402-833-3858 or visit RenewYourAuto.com. They do everything from body shops, ceramic coatings, window tinting, and more at RenewYourAuto.com. Good people.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have our self-care non-negotiables. For some people, it's getting enough sleep, eating a fulfilling breakfast, or never skipping leg day. However, a non-negotiable we should all consider is never skipping therapy day. When your schedule is packed with kids' activities, big work projects, and more, it's easy to let your priorities slip. But when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. It's helpful to learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries to empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/earlybreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earlybreak.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
Okay, does he have a rule cut up?
Yeah, we got some rules. From yesterday, Matt Rhule is at the podium for his weekly press conference, 1-0 Nebraska, heading into the Colorado week this week. And there's a couple things to get to. Do you want to get to running backs first or Malachi Coleman?
Is there anything cut up about him resisting talk about it being a measuring stick game?
I do. I have that. Here's Matt Rhule on
that. Asked about it being a measuring stick game.
Here's Matt Rhule yesterday on that.
I don't think that way. This is our second game, so we're going to try to make an improvement from last week. I thought the guys handled last week great. I think every day is a measuring stick for us in our program. You know, like every day we're trying to see where we are, and so, we'll play the game and we'll come in on Sunday, whatever the result is, and we'll get better. For week three. So that's. That's literally all I can say. I mean, we are as day by day right now as we've ever been in a program.
Okay, we're as day by day as we've ever been. That's probably some of that is because they're look at their roster and look at how many veterans they have. They have 19 seniors, if I'm not mistaken, and all of them are key players. You might be able to find one where you say, "Oh, Sip, really? He's key." All of them play, and. If you think about the defense, let me just look at how many veteran players are on the defense. So I don't know if that's where that comment comes from, but it might be. What about Rhule on CU's receiving core?
Yeah, I got that right here.
Ben gave us
the thing. Thank you. Yeah, here we go. Here's Matt Rhule on that from yesterday.
They've got great players. I mean, they're fast, athletic, explosive. To me, five is a difference maker. Obviously, 12, Travis is playing both ways, which is amazing. But to me, five, dominates the middle of the field. And they brought in, 10 from FAU who, had a ton of catches, and he's excellent, and 14 has a bunch of catches. So you have a quarterback who can make all the throws, so they can spread you out, open up the run game. Utilize the receivers in the RPO game. So when you try to pressure, they always have answers. And they've got guys who can, everyone thinks of speed as running this way. These guys can run across the field and run away from man coverage. So, they're excellent players.
Now, there you go, Jake. Remember what I said the other day about Jimmy Horn? Everybody talks about Travis Hunter. Jimmy Horn concerns me as much or more than Travis Hunter because he's a freak. Freak speed. I mean, he's faster than Hunter. Hunter's probably a better overall player. Jimmy Horn's not going to be a top five pick. But those two, I'm glad Rhule said what he did. It's not just Travis Hunter. It's not just, Tommy Hill's got to stop Travis Hunter. No, it's much more complicated than that.
He's very important, but it's more than that.
Yeah. I mean, LaJonte Wester, and then they got a guy named Webb from Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's gonna kill me for saying it, but Gary Barnett told me that they're three.
Take a drink, everybody.
They're three
Gary,
deep.
Gary Barnett dropped
Gary Barnett the other day.
He said his name 17 times in this video.
He knows the Colorado as well as anybody. He's their color analyst, and he's deeply engaged. He knows that roster. He says they're three deep at receiver. He says there's guys that you didn't even see against North Dakota State that can hurt you. They just didn't play. Three deep. So that's the trouble. What else? What else?
Running back situation, Dante Dell.
Yes.
Here's Matt Rhule on the running back situation as of yesterday from the press conference.
Yeah, no, Dante's going to keep playing. I put Dante back in after. Now, he had to sit for a while. He had to feel it for a little bit, but I put him back in. I think it's really weird. Like, as much as I say I'd like to have one, I really like the feeling of it on Saturday. And one thing I do is I always watch the TV copy the next morning. Because, we watch the All-22 copy. You're sitting there. You're so upset that someone's foot went 45-degree step at 3 inches too wide. And you're like, what are we doing? And the details matter, but I think you have to feel the game, right? And you have to – especially when you watch the TV copy, you can feel the – I watch the opponents – I always watch the opponents' TV copies. I watch ours. You can hear the game, hear how it sounds if you're hitting people, if you're running to the ball, if you're striking, if you're – you can hear your cadences. Well, I like the way it felt that, like, it was really hot out there. And thank goodness we were on the cooler sideline. And you know, they were going fast, and we were getting three and outs, and they were staying on the field a lot. So to be able to keep putting different backs in there that were fresh, I kind of enjoyed it. So, you know, we had certain roles. Obviously, you know, Amir and Ramir and Emmett were like the sub backs, the third down backs. You know, the big backs went in on short yards and goal line, and then we mixed them. And so I think we do that for another week. You know, we'll just keep doing that, you know, because I like kind of where we're at right now.
He was talking, Bill and Jake, about using four backs, and it wasn't that bad. Bill, the most interesting thing that happened, and Jake, you might brief Bill on what your info. Jake
has inside.
Well, I had some intel that.
Okay, give us some intel.
Sip didn't take it seriously.
I didn't take it seriously.
I had someone who goes to practice that said, "Watch out for Dante Daldell." The last 2 weeks coming on strong in practice.
Sip
said, "That's cute, Jake." Yeah.
I didn't say that. I just said it went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, same thing. Just the same thing. Then
it went in one ear and out the other.
I don't try to give any intel. I said, there's one thing I tried to tell you.
He doesn't do that.
I'm not a reporter.
But I had somebody say that. You said that. He said that last week.
That's the one thing I've ever told you is that.
And then.
But now the problem is that now, since someone has heard this on the radio, they're trying to find out who the source is. Now
They're not going to find the source.
So they're going to, okay, no. Who's attending practice that's talking to Jake Sorensen?
Jake Sorensen.
That source is sealed.
Yes.
But nobody. Jake was right. And then we heard on, okay, sources again, on Saturday morning, Dowdell's going to start. He didn't start, but I mean, he kind of started.
The first carry. Yeah. He got all the rest of the carries that first drive, though.
Yeah. So we had heard it, and then that's when Jake dropped on me. Hey, I told you this last week.
I did not say that. Yeah. No, you texted me. You said, "Wow, good call." I did not text you first in that. don't put me in the wrong on that. Okay. I was not trying to pump myself
anyway,
up.
Anyway, Dowdell looked really good. I mean, he did. Then he fumbled.
Yeah.
He fumbled
it deep in their territory.
Yeah, early in the second quarter.
Led to a safety. Nebraska did still, defense did their job.
Yeah, but. Ty and Bayer.
That was the one play I saw of the game. That's the only play I saw.
Ty wrecked
it. And I just remember thinking right away, I looked at Shin Daddy was there because I was in.
Shin Daddy?
There's quite a situation I was involved in during this time. So it wasn't like I just opted not to watch. Right, I watched no football.
You were involved in
the situation.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him. I go, slow developing inside zone. Took the shotgun. Took the ball back into the end zone. I go. That told me everything I need to know. I walked by. I watched one play, and I looked at him. I go, that might be one of the worst calls I've ever seen from an offensive coordinator.
Slow development
at the time. I mean, yeah, shotgun. Slow. It was a slow read zone. I mean, it was like it into their weakest part of their game, the best strength of Nebraska's, and they're at like the 6-inch line.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I'm always for throwing it down there. Throw the ball.
Get it out of there.
And, or you're under center trying to get a quarterback sneak. You're trying to get 2 yards or a yard just to give you a little bit of space. Mm-hmm. But that play call right there just ended it for me.
Robinson.
I've seen it. It's 9-7. The game's over.
I did.
Game's over.
And then I said I had to go back to work again. So I saw that one play.
So we don't know what will happen. Now, okay, I'm going to get out over my skis a little bit. I would start Dowdell. I mean, just based on what I saw in the game, Bill. I know you could say, well, Sipple, you don't see any practice. They watch cut-ups, blah, 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 blah. I get it. I know they do. But I know what I saw in the game. Dowdell was the best running back. And he was good. He was going to get 100. He was going to get 100.
Before the fumble.
Yeah. And then after the fumble, Bill, he didn't carry. That fumble was early second quarter. Early second quarter. He never carried again. He got in the game briefly.
And he had 55 yards still.
Yeah. So now they were fine at running back, though. I thought that position was, it was about what I expected. Those guys are pretty good. They're all tough. I say it all the time. And they ran well. Okay, now there's also sound on Malachi Coleman.
Sure is.
Malachi Coleman, interestingly, did not appear in the game at all. Okay. I mean, he didn't get in the period. They played over 100 players.
108, right?
Yeah. So they played a lot of receivers. And then, so yesterday, Rule kind of gave an explanation of why Coleman didn't play.
Yeah, no, Malachi's healthy. And we had no injuries. And Malachi's doing great. There's no problems. I just think, you know, Malachi stepped up for us last year, you know, in a year that maybe he could have redshirted. and tried to play. And so I don't, again, he's kind of in that same, if we have to play him, we'll play him. And it's early, but I don't want to play him, you know, later in the games. And we have these two big receivers out there that are playing well. If Malachi can have this year and he can play, you know, four games and play in the postseason, I think he would just be just really picking right up where those guys are left off. Because he made a catch last week on the scout team that I was like, wow, that's awesome to see. And so just, you know, taking the pressure off him for a little bit and let him go compete. And, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want a redshirt. I'm sure he wants to play. So if something happens, he can play in the next couple of weeks. But I just didn't want to put him in for a play here, a play there. You know, when we use someone's redshirt, we really want it to be worthwhile.
Okay, really interesting. So, Jake, did you hear in that you think Malachi Coleman is headed towards a redshirt?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is interesting because, again, that guy started a lot of games last year for Nebraska.
Yeah, and he's...
I know it's not a great receiving core. They've upgraded a ton, but he did start games at Nebraska last season.
He's listed at 6'5", 210. Okay. Now, think about the big picture here. I can kind of see what's going on. Here's what's going on. They're going to lose. Well, this is just my theory. They're going to lose Jamal Banks and Nayor, 2 6-foot-4 receivers. Well, you can go to the portal and maybe replace them. Or within the program, you have 6'5" Malachi Coleman. And then also, Bill would remember Ken Clark. Remember Ken Clark?
Mm-hmm. Running back, really good.
Yeah, from Omaha.
Yes.
Omaha Bryant, I think it was. Or South, one of the two. Anyway, Ken Clark was in Able Hall with me, and we studied together.
His last year would have been 88.
Yeah, I think around there,
about 88.
My last year at Nebraska was 89. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
thank you for that.
So what we're talking about is Quinn Clark, his son. Also, he did get in the game, and he's 6'5", and he's a dude. I mean, Ken Clark produced, the late Ken Clark, God bless him, produced a great player. I think Quinn Clark's going to be really good. He's 6'5". Coleman's 6'5". And then you have Keelan Smith, who's 6'4". You have guys in the wings now. Keelan Smith played in the game, too, and they like him. In fact, Keelan Smith's right on the cusp of the sort of the main group. So they have guys stocked and ready that are 6'4 and up. So it's a pretty good picture. But for now, it's Nayor and Banks. I mean, that's who Dylan's going to be going to. Those are the guys.
We have a question on the text line from Heavy in Kansas. It goes to Bill. It says, Bill, coaching question for you. On the fumble, which you did not price this, but we'll explain it. The fumble by Dowdell. He says, that fumble will be more of a great defensive play than it was bad ball security. How does a coach go about that? Because he feels like any running back would have fumbled the ball in that situation. Mm. How do you handle that?
Good question.
Was it a punch out?
It was a good punch out.
It was a really good punch out.
Punch rip out, yeah.
There's a couple ways with it. Obviously, I've never been a true running back coach, but we talk ball security on both sides of the ball, you know, all the time. So that was the part that would be the coachable situation was where, you know, did you have the ball in the right hand? How was it, you know, was it, we use the term high and tight, which high and tight means across your chest with where the ball was carried. There are situations where it's, like you say, you can tell where you are being lazy with the football. That is way more alarming than someone that has done everything right, and sometimes just a great play happens. But there also, at the same time, there was such a emphasis put on it, and it was said in media that if you turn it over, you don't get to play. And so I think that part was also, I would imagine, can't speak for coach, yeah. I imagine he probably wish he would have gotten a carry again in the game, maybe just to get back in to get another carry. Mm-hmm. But when you have that built in, that's just kind of the way it is. Mm-hmm. But there is times, though, when there's plays. There's a lot of times that we've talked about on defense, especially defensive back, where you're like going, I don't know what to tell you. We can't defend that throw. You threw it through a paper plate at 30 yards, and it's really undefendable. And they threw it so perfect, and it's on the sideline or wherever the location is, and you're just like, you're mad. And then sometimes you have to kind of look back, go, just hang on a second.
Yeah.
If they're going to throw it like that and have that good of a play, there's going to be some times when you just kind of say, kind of, all right.
Yep, they made a play.
They made a play. Now we come back, and because you have to be able to make the plays when all those are available to you.
I wish I'd seen, I don't know, I didn't.
Jake, but I'd have to take a look, and I will go back and watch it.
I haven't seen the replay. I haven't seen
the replay. Try to look during the break on the replay.
There is a part of me that says, I don't care if the guy made a good play. You can't. You got it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's a part of me that says that. Wait a second. He punched it out. Well, don't let him punch it out. You know the punches are coming.
There's I agree with that. There's sometimes you say that no matter what, it's non-negotiable because you don't get to talk about now. You know, we can't fumble. We're going to do this like this, but you know what? Sometimes you will fumble because they're going to do something like
don't punch it, and you know, they might get it.
They might get it. No, you can't. You can't allow that. So I think it was handled really well by the coaching staff. You know, to be able to do that. So there's just like I said, several things that are going on for this preparation of this next game. There's some stuff that I thought was kind of interesting. Had a little bit of a take. So you looked at the two games. Okay.
North Dakota State.
Advantage Colorado in some areas, advantage Nebraska in several areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the one like Colorado would be what? What would be their advantage? They played Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to sit and watch Nebraska on TV. Not a huge deal, but it's still there. It's bonus there. 2 days.
Yeah.
The second thing would be they played a better opponent.
Yep.
They did. North Dakota State's a way better opponent than UTEP.
They got tested.
So they got tested more.
Mm.
Sure. The vibe on the two teams are way different. Deion was not happy at all after the game. That didn't go well. It wasn't a great feeling on Friday morning at there.
Didn't seem like it.
It wasn't the vibe. The vibe at Nebraska very well went very smooth. Not a lot pre-snap penalties. None of that situation. Nope. Played a lot of players. Everything you wanted to have done in the first game. No injuries.
That part. Would you rather have a good vibe?
That part all went good. So the vibe part of it is good.
Yeah.
And so there's just several little things that will come up. You obviously advantage of Nebraska is what the game's aware. Here, the fan base will be a huge part of that when you're trying to communicate because Colorado does not run the football. They throw it. So that gives you snap issues right away. You have to have snap issues right away. Like, how are we snapping this ball? Is the guard going to turn? Is he going to tap the center? All those things that they have going on will be interesting.
It'll be a mess, is my guess.
It'll be hard. The fan base can make it very, very hard. So there's a bunch of things. You know, when you look at both things, it's like, okay, that's advantage for Colorado because of certain things. And then the advantage goes back to Nebraska for certain things to be able to get done. So it'll be interesting to see how all those things play out. That's for sure.
You saw I was telling Jake yesterday, if you watched LSU and USC, it was very loud at Allegiant Stadium. And it affected a few series. And that was a split crowd. And you saw the quarterbacks both going like this. Yep. I suppose because they have the speaker in there.
From those who were there, the feedback that I got, and from other pundits, was that it wasn't a split crowd at all.
It was LSU heavy.
It was like 70% LSU.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable how loud they were.
When you're watching an atmosphere game, that was an atmosphere game.
That was on a
neutral site. But that was, neutral site in Vegas, that's the best one.
What is the deal with LSU fans? That is an incredible fan base. What a traveling fan base.
We played in Jerry's World against Miami my first year at LSU, and it was the same thing. It was like, whoa. Yeah, absolutely incredible, the fan base.
If Nebraska were a top 10 team, it'd be like that. Mm-hmm. They would go to Vegas, and it would be like that.
Before we get to break, we're way late, as usual. Steve, you look hungry over there. Are you hungry right now?
Yeah.
What would you like to have, Steve?
I'd take some Chinese, but I'd also take some early.
They might have Chinese, so you never know.
Some Kung Pao chicken, please.
You need to go to Early Bird. Early Bird. They got breakfast burritos. They've got everything chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
That's right. They got cinnamon roll pancakes and, of course, the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes.
That's right. Hash holes at 19th and K. Early Bird. Get there today.
Jake's slamming a table.
6:30 a.m.
Holy, he's done. That's just 2:30. Like the head coach at LSU.
Yeah, me and Brian Kelly are the same.
Yes.
The same.
He just, Brian Kelly did.
I did.
Slamming a table.
Lots of free parking, 19th and K.
Free parking.
Bird. Get there today.
The bird.
That's right, the bird.
Where's it at?
19th and K.
Oh, I will
drive
capital?
By it every single, yeah.
I'd like to have gotten some feedback from the bird on what it was like this weekend. That had to be just craziness down there.
Feedback from the bird.
And anybody go to the bird, please text or tweet us right now.
Please text in because that had to be a crazy atmosphere.
Because they can go again this week.
They can. When we come back, an update on week one of the Big Ten. Early break on the ticket.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.